Blog Talk Radio.
While we're sitting home in our places, stuffing goodies in our faces, bitching about the television news and the price of gasoline. There's a man who was your neighbor somewhere in Southeast Asia, living in a bamboo cage and wondering what happened to the USA. He's a citizen of the free world. He's an American Southern son. He's a living contradiction. He's a shame to everyone. He ain't got no constitution, and his Bill of Rights are gone. The war's been over for 10 years now.
Welcome to Handle the Truth with the Rebel Madman and Tenacity. This is Tenacity, a.k.a. Terry Dodd, and here tonight with me co-hosting is the Rebel Madman, Mike Gaddy, and we've got quite a show ready to go for you tonight. Welcome, everyone, and we're just thankful that you're here for us to be able to share some things off of our chest tonight with. I mean, it's... It just keeps getting uglier out there as far as I'm concerned, and we want to start tonight. We're going to continue with what we've started with the Swindled from the Beginning series, but before we do that, we want to kind of give you a public service announcement and help people really understand what's really going on right now. It's just ugly out there. Mike, what do you think?
Well, Terry, it's... I tell you what, it's bright sunshine now to what it's going to be in the next few months in this country.
I sure pray you're wrong, but I have the same feeling that you're absolutely right, because these Marxists are not going to back off. I mean, I know you're going to be sharing with us a little bit about some contact tracers here in a little bit, but before you do, let me get a little bit off my chest. Let me preface what I'm going to say by acknowledging that there's good reasons for the elderly and for the those with compromised immune systems to take whatever precautions they need to keep themselves safe. But for the rest of the population, those that have that are not feeling like they're at high risk, This lockdown is causing more deaths already. It's already caused more deaths than the virus would have, even if their ridiculously high predicted numbers were true to start with. We've got some kids that are dying from wearing masks. We've got people committing suicide because of the lack of social contact and because they've lost their jobs. I mean, this lockdown is the crisis. We really have not had, comparative to past years, we don't have a health crisis in the way that it's been presented to people. The mask for a healthy person could actually make them sick. It reduces the amount of oxygen that they're getting. It also will enhance any microbial condition that they've got in their upper respiratory. It'll actually make it grow. You're breathing in more carbon dioxide. It depresses people. Social interaction is a vital part of mental health. And what they're doing to us right now is designed. It is planned. I was listening with an interview with Jim Willie, and he said that he referred to it as the Rockefeller pandemic, because he had knowledge that this had been planned back before Rockefeller died 10 years ago. They planned this out up to 10 years ago. So this is not something that should surprise anybody. Even this guy Fauci, this Dr. Fauci, predicted and then said back in 2016 and 2017 that we were going to have a surprise pandemic. And he is, right now there's a huge push to have Fauci arrested. He needs to be charged and prosecuted, because what they've learned is that as the director of the Institute of Health, he actually, after they had passed a law that said that blocked any future research on these type of that can be weaponized viruses, they actually passed legislation that blocked that research from going forward. And after they did that, Fauci sent $3.7 million over to the lab in Wuhan, China. He broke the law, and he needs to be prosecuted for it. He actually funded the research on this so-called, virus illegally. And here he is running this lockdown, providing false information, using false science, using computer models that are any idiot would know that these computer models were incorrectly done. The guy that actually invented this genetic material test that they're using to supposedly identify whether or not somebody's been exposed to this virus, the guy that invented it actually said it was not suitable for analyzing an infectious disease. So they have not isolated a virus with this testing process. You hear these politicians talking about, oh, we went and got all these masks and we got all these ventilators and we're doing everything we can to be able to provide this testing. Well, this testing has an 80% false positive. So if they have a group of people over here that they say, like the meat processing people, for example, you got to go be tested. Well, there's no question that they're going to show positive, because the test isn't isolating a virus. It's just identifying certain antibodies that actually represents genetic material that anybody that's had almost any virus in the last 3 years is going to test positive for. It's insane. It's false science, and it is fear-mongering, and it's designed to meet their agenda of crushing this economy, of making Trump look bad, of killing people, because they're what they really want to push for is forced vaccination. And who does that point back to but Bill Gates? And Fauci is tied at Bill Gates at the hip. He's been on his board for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He's tied to the United Nations. He's tied to the World Health Organization. The guy is a criminal, and what they're doing to our country and our states and the United States and our communities and to people's jobs and our economy is criminal, and these people need to be prosecuted. Bill Gates needs to be prosecuted, and Fauci needs to be prosecuted. All you got to do is go look up some of these doctors like Mikovits. Judy Mikovits or Joe Neusman or Yvette Lozano or Erickson or Barkey, and look at what these doctors who are actually in the field dealing with patients, dealing with the upper respiratory condition, what some of these people have found out, like the ER doctors in New York, discovered that it may not even be a virus that's causing the problem, and it wasn't pneumonia. So putting people on a ventilator is actually, in some cases, killing them quicker because it's putting pressure on their lungs, and the people are having trouble getting oxygen because the iron has been stripped away from their hemoglobin, and putting them on a ventilator is counterproductive. It's actually killing people. So people, wake up. You should not, if you're healthy, you should not be wearing a mask. You shouldn't, the herd immunity is blocked by people staying at home. You see these signs on the interstate, safer at home. Well, that's a bunch of bull. It's a lie. We are safer if we are continuing to socially interact. We are safer if we are building up our immune system. And that's what everybody really needs to do to get safe. If you're not doing things like taking the right minerals and eating the right foods and getting a little bit of exercise and getting some sunshine for your vitamin D, those are the things that you need to be doing to stay safe, not staying at home. There's no reason for people not to be working. There's no reason for them not to be shopping. There's no reason for our restaurants not to be open. It is criminally insane what is going on, and they are lying. The television's lying. The news people, the people on all of the channels, including some of them on Fox News, are lying through their teeth. And when they start talking about how the government's doing all they can and providing all these masks and all, this is a bunch of bull. All they're doing is attacking our freedoms. It's all about control. It's all about the agenda that these elitists want to take our rights away and reduce our population. That's what this is about. So, okay, I've ranted enough. If anybody really wants to take some action on this, go look up Gary Franchi's video at Next News Network, where they are doing a survey. They put a survey out where you can give a thumbs up if you think Fauci should be arrested. I don't ever go on and do online surveys at all, but I went on that one and gave it a thumbs up because that guy needs to be put in prison. Mike, you got the floor. Tell us about contact tracers, man.
Well, I'm going to start back a little bit, and I'm going to elaborate on your point, Terry, if I might, and well presented there. But, we have a huge problem in this country, and that is the fact that people only believe the things that keep them comfortable. If anything makes them uncomfortable, they shy away from it. A very good friend of mine in Rogers, Arkansas, called me a couple of days ago, and we were talking, and he was talking about some of the facts like what you've said, and he was trying to present those facts to another businessman. This is not your local yokel. This is a guy who is an established businessman, and my friend was trying to present to him some of these facts, and he said, look, you need to know that only looks I agree with. So America, and I was thinking about this today as I was preparing mentally for this program tonight, and I just wanted to go back and to look at a lot of things in my adult life that I have witnessed and this country has witnessed, and how they have been programmed to just believe lie after lie after lie after lie, as you elaborated on, Terry. And let's go back to Vietnam. Let's look at the Vietnam War. We know it's been established that the government lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, that it didn't occur. And yet we went to war, 58,156 Americans died. And that's probably a million Vietnamese died. How many millions and billions of dollars was spent on a war based on a lie? But America believed that lie, and many of them still do. And let's look at the fact that after Vietnam, just like after Korea, after World War II, after World War I, this country left our fighting men behind in the hands of our enemy. And instead of doing what they should have done and trying to get them back, they lied to cover it up. And America just swallowed that, swallowed those lies, and believed their government again, because believing government is comfortable. You know, you don't have to question anybody. You don't have to look at anything. Plus, you have the media who's going to tell you every lie in the world that you want to listen to, as you alluded to before. And there are very few anywhere, including Fox News, that ever tell the truth, because if they told the truth, they'd be out of work. So we had that happen. We've left behind America's fighting men in the hands of their enemy, and we've told lie after lie after lie to cover it. That's the purpose for our theme song. And I was vice president of the American Foundation for Accountability of Prisoners of War and Missing in Action. I saw this government cover-up firsthand. Then let's skip ahead to another huge lie that Americans believed, everything they were told, and they couldn't believe that their government could be rogue, that their government could lie. And you look at let's look at Ruby Ridge and look at what happened to the Weaver family. Samuel Weaver, 14 years old, shot in the back by a federal marshal. Vicky Weaver, shot in the face by a FBI hostage rescue team operative by the name of Lam Horiuchi, who shot her in the face. She was unarmed. She was holding a baby. And America was lied about that, because they were told that, here's a comfortable lie for you, America. Randy Weaver was a white separatist, and we know those guys never do anything but what's wrong. So because we labeled him that, then evidently he deserved everything that happened to him. And did Americans look at the trial? Did they listen to the evidence that was presented? Did they know that the FBI was found in contempt 7 times during that trial by a federal judge for presenting false information and withholding other information? Is America aware of that? But more importantly, Terry, do they care? No, because there's NFL, there's MLB, there's a National Hockey League, there's Wimbledon, and there's Dancing with the Stars. Makes us comfortable. We don't have to worry about the truth. We can be comfortable. So then we look at Waco. We go to Waco and we look at where people in their church, not a compound, it was a church, and these people in their church were killed. We found out the government lied through their teeth about that. But that's okay. That's okay. It was the government. And you know, that crazy guy, Koresh, he had a cult. You know, he had a cult. So, you know, he deserved to be killed. And all of those children, those 20-some children, they deserved to be killed because they were dumb enough to be in that place with him. Choice. There's another lie. America just swallowed that and went on about their business. Okay, let me see what's on college football this week. So they paid no attention to that. Then we had Oklahoma City bombing. And there were so many lies told about that, it's incredible. For those of you who don't believe that it's a lie, there's a great YouTube video to watch, and I'm trying to think of the name of it now, A Noble Lie. Watch that and see if you believe that. And Terrence Yakey, a cop who was uncovering what had happened at Oklahoma City, he committed suicide by slashing his wrist and bleeding to death inside of his car, and then getting out and walking a half a mile and shooting himself in the head with a revolver that was never found. Yeah, America, just keep on believing that stuff, because that's how you're in the mess you're in right now. Okay, then let's watch 9/11 happen, and let's believe all those lies. Thing that happened, you can't believe engineers, you can't believe pilots, you can't believe the military who tells you this was physically impossible. I've talked to a pilot, Terry. I think you were involved in that interview as well. We had a pilot, a professional who was qualified to fly all type aircraft, and who said on the simulator he could not hit those buildings, and he had thousands and thousands of flying hours time, and he tried in the simulator at Hartfield in Atlanta, and he couldn't hit those buildings. But yet we're to believe that someone just taking training, flying a Piper Cub, can do that. But America, go on back to sleep, because, you know, hey, Dancing with Stars is on tomorrow, or, you know, gosh, you know, some kind of reality show will be on. Won't it be great? We'll all be comfortable again. So we believe that lie. And so then we have the lie of the Iraqi war. Oh, yes. Oh, the first one was, they were throwing babies out of the floor on incubators and onto the floor. And we found out that was a lie. How many Americans died in that war? We found out George Bush lied through his teeth, and so did Colin Powell and others, telling us that weapons of mass destruction and all this other stuff. But let's only look at those facts that we believe, that we want to believe, only the ones we like. We don't have to look at anybody who dissents at all. So we've accepted this government, and we believe what they say because, you know, we all know government wouldn't lie. And we all have this great pacifier. You know, we have this great big pacifier we suck on all the time, and it's called elections. Oh, we can fix this government. All we need to do is to elect a few more hitmen into the mafia, and it will be a church-going operation within 2 weeks. That's how absolutely asinine you sound, America. That's why we're in this mess we're in right now. That's why we're looking at what we're looking at. Because we believe this stuff, and we continue to believe this stuff. Our rights have been taken away after each one of these incidents. We had the Patriot Act that took away so many of our rights. Through 9/11, you know, they start training the police through a different method nationally. We're talking about a national police force now. That's coming. I'll get into that a little bit later. But we have a national police force. They started training police throughout the country. They started training them with a Mossad program so that all of the American police would be trained to treat American citizens like the Israeli Defense Force treats Palestinians. You wonder why cop shootings have prospered so much, have grown in numbers? Have you wondered about that? Does it not bother you at all that we've had cities like Albuquerque, New Mexico, that they had to bring in the feds? Oh, now that's a big help. You got some corruption going on in the state government, so you bring in the master thieves to come in and fix it. Problem out there, but Americans just keep turning their head. And this time they're buying into something that's really going to give them a huge problem, and this is something I wanted to get into. But I wanted to try to cover something most people do. People get real angry when you compare America with Nazi Germany. Oh, they get all kind of upset. Oh, you can't do that. We're nothing like that. Oh, the hell we're not. Stop and think about it. Look at the parallels. And who were the brown shirts? Who were the brown shirts? The parallels, if you are a student of history, are absolutely scary to what we're doing. So now we have, and I'll get into this subject, is the one that I told Terry that I was going to do. So you'll have to what I meant to say. So we've got U.S. federal and state governments now are hiring contact tracers. Write that down, contact tracers, to track those who are infected with the coronavirus. The Daily Beast, a liberal online news site, claims that in order to reopen businesses and institutions, the government needs to hire thousands of contact tracers. Imagine that. They're going to hire thousands of people. Now, with all of the people in this country being out of work, do you think it's going to be hard to hire these people for $25, $35 an hour, which is what they're going to pay? You think it's going to be hard to hire people who are trying to feed their families to rat out their neighbors and to subject their neighbors? It wasn't hard in Germany. They put all these people to work and called them brown shirts. But anyway, these thousands are going to be hired. Contact tracing is vital. This is what the article says. Contact tracing is vital to reopening the country. These states are recruiting thousands. Calls for mass hiring of contact tracers since, quote, health experts are pressing more than ever the need for contact tracing. The article claims that it's a tool that proved effective in past epidemics like SARS and Ebola, and it's regarded as essential to safely reopening the country with the looming threat of higher surges in cases. Ooh. So we're going to go out, we're going to hire all these people we have made unemployed, and the Federal Reserve is going to create money out of nothing, and we're going to pay these people to rat out and to basically turn on their fellow countrymen for bucks. because they're hungry and they need to be fed. It says, currently there are around 2,000 contact tracers, or disease detectives, as they're being called in some places, but they are estimating that the U.S. workforce will need between 100,000 to 300,000 contact tracers, and that is just the beginning. Former CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden estimates that the country needs at least several hundred thousand in order to effectively trace the network of those infected with COVID-19. The National Association of County and Health Officials recommends 15 tracers per 100,000 people in normal times, and we need to increase that to 30 traces during our pandemic, 30 tracers per 100,000 people. Now, the Center for Disease Control says that contact tracers will identify an infected person and track down every person and location that might have been exposed for a prolonged period of time during the incubation period. Now, somebody please explain how you're going to do that. If one of you went out and went shopping, went somewhere, passed people in Walmart like I did today, you passed other people at various places, saw people at the service station, wherever you happen to be, you saw people, and so suddenly your prognosis is that you have COVID-19. How are these tracers going to determine who you saw and who you didn't see? People look at the holes in these stories. It says they're not told the identity of those who might have exposed them. Then contact tracers will notify potential carriers through phone, email, or social media. This is what the article claims. But a big challenge is that state and local public health departments need a huge amount of people and resources to conduct widespread tracing. There will be various agencies that will be hiring the new breed of professionals, as it is called in this article. The Daily Beast mentions Scott Gottlieb, a former Food and Drug Administration chief under President Trump, who has recently claimed in an interview with NPR that, and I quote, as many as 180,000 contact tracers will be needed if we want to enter into the fall with the kind of resources we need to try to trace infection to prevent large outbreaks. Another mainstream media network who knows how to put fear in people, was the good old CNN, the Communist News Network. And I quote, experts say the U.S. needs teams ready to hunt down new COVID-19 cases. But so far, there isn't nearly enough. Contact tracing is a widely used method in public health that relies on identifying every person who tests positive with an infection, isolating them. That's the key thing, isolating them. Where are you going to be isolated? They have already said you can't stay at home. So they're going to send these contact tracers in, and they're going to be backed by the military and law enforcement, and they're going to take you out of your home or your kids out of your home or whoever they want to take out of your home, and all they have to say is, we have information that they walked by somebody at Walmart yesterday that had COVID-19. Absolutely none. Back to CNN. Contact tracing, widely used method in public health that relies on identifying every person, right, isolating them, and then finding anyone that person could have infected. Can you people not see what a mess this is going to be, what a mess this is going to be everywhere? Well, here we go. And, of course, I have very different thoughts on Mr. Trump as my good friend Terry. And I have believed from the beginning that Trump was installed in office in 2016 to keep the good old conservatives sitting on their butt at home while all this happens, because if all of this happened under Hillary, they would have already been in the streets. But you keep them all at home sitting on their butts because Trump's going to come riding in on his white horse and fix everything and drain the swamp. Well, enough of that. But anyway, now listen to this. Trump unveiled a three-phase return-to-normal plan to all 50 state governors last Thursday. that outlines steps each state should take once they meet a certain threshold for a number of cases declining over 2 weeks and certain level of capacity and ability to care for all patients in hospitals. The 17-page document makes a brief mention of contact tracing, saying states should have the ability to do it, but it did not offer any guidance on how to do it, how many people will be needed to do it, or to explain how the federal government will help build up contact tracing systems. Many states are quickly moving into this direction. An NBC report called Inside an Army of COVID-19 Contact Tracers in Massachusetts said that, and I quote, the program in Massachusetts has a virtual workforce of 1,000 contact tracers already at work. Roughly 9,000 applied positions in the first 24 hours, and as I said earlier, the job pays the rate of a federal census worker $20 to $25 an hour. Now, this NBC interviewed Christian Arthur, who was formerly employed at an addiction recovery center in South Boston until he found this job and was hired as a contact tracer. And here's what the report says. Christian Arthur was out of a job when the Addiction Recovery Center in South Boston, where he worked, closed last month. It took him 2 weeks to find a new job as a contact tracer on the virtual front lines, military sounding here, doesn't it, of Massachusetts' effort to halt the spread of COVID-19. There's an army of us, Arthur, 29, told NBC News. So to justify these positions, NBC said, and it mentioned that contact tracing has been around for some time. Contact tracing has long been used in the U.S. and other countries to help curb the spread of such diseases as tuberculosis, cholera, and Ebola. It has also been used to great effect to mitigate the virus in countries like South Korea and Germany, public health experts say. Under Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, the chief medical officer of the Boston-based Partners in Health, Dr. Hoya Mukherjee, is in charge. That's a good Smith or Jones, I guess, in America, is in charge of the contact tracing program. The president and executive director of Partners in Health, Ophelia Dahl, was recently on. Now listen. This is critical. The president and executive director of Partners in Health, Ophelia Dahl, was recently on a Clinton Global Initiative University online video discussion with Bill and Hillary and Chelsea Clinton, with Governors Andrew Cuomo of New York, Gavin Newsom of California. Imagine that. Dahl and both governors all basically said the same thing, and that is a significant army, they keep using the military phrase, of contact tracers is needed to fight COVID-19. Dr. Mukherjee, or whatever his name is currently overseeing the recruiting, training, and deployment of newly hired contact tracers throughout the state of Massachusetts. The program in Massachusetts has a virtual workforce of 1,000, roughly 9,000 applied, as I said before. So, anyway, then NBC News mentions Krista Cass, a 2010 West Point graduate, here we go back to the military again, and a former orthopedic physician's assistant who was an Army officer for 8 years in Afghanistan and other countries in the Middle East before she became a supervisor in the Massachusetts tracing program. This goes right back to the Brown Church, the SA in Germany, because this is exactly how they created the Brown Church. Former military people, former law enforcement people, and they put them to work because they were out of a job because the economy was crap. Okay, now the quote. Cass now oversees a team of 100 contact tracers divided into 10 units with 10 to 3 case investigators in each. The case investigators interview those who tested positive and then pass along the list of contacts and places they have gone to the contact tracers in the unit. Most military recruits volunteer for public service in response to a global need, said Cass, back to the SA, whose team focuses on Boston alone. The people I'm working with are so similar. They care about the mission military again. The state of California, under its governor, Gavin Newsom, wants to increase the number of contact tracers in California to at least 20,000, according to a report produced by a CBS13.com news network based in Sacramento, California. During a recent press conference, Governor Newsom said that, and I quote, foundational so that we can move quickly, that we can more quickly move to modify our stay-at-home order. Listen, people. The University of California at Los Angeles and the University of California at San Francisco are now offering online contact tracer academies, the report said. The Daily Beast said that Governor Andrew Cuomo announced in late April that the state would immediately launch a nation-leading coronavirus contact tracing program with between 6,400 and 17,000 tracers in the state of New York. Now you're going to hear some familiar names here. Billionaire Michael Bloomberg is partnering with Governor Cuomo to collaborate within the tri-state area in the East Coast. The program, in collaboration with former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg's charity, will be done in coordination with the downstate region as well as New Jersey and Connecticut. The main question that has to be asked is why the government multinational corporations, including major pharmaceuticals and the private billionaire class and others with special interests, Gates that you mentioned before, Fauci that you mentioned before, might find this new contact tracing model appealing. With billionaires Bloomberg, Gates, and others funding COVID-19 tracing programs and mass vaccination campaigns in the U.S. and around the world, individual liberties are slowly being taken away. The same system can be used to create an army to combat any perceived crisis they see fit. What if these groups suddenly starts targeting anti-abortion groups, targeting civil rights activists? What if they start targeting anti-GMO groups? What about pro-Second Amendment groups? What if these people, these SA that we're having, the American SA, is going to go beyond the COVID-19? They've got all the funding
Mike,
they need with
Mike,
Bloomberg
Mike,
and others.
Mike, they're already targeting those people.
They're targeting.
That's part of what they bring out the hate speech stuff on. You know, hate crimes is all about. They've been targeting them for a long time.
Well, somebody said today that if you don't believe what the government is saying about COVID-19, you must be a racist. I haven't been able to figure that one out, Terry.
I was listening to one doctor last night, Mike, and they were talking about that Medicaid and Medicare. Not only are these doctors and hospital staff being urged to classify any and all deaths as COVID, but the hospital gets paid 4 to 5 times as much if they classify it a COVID death. They're paying them like $39,000 versus where the hospital might get $6,000 for death, an ordinary death, let's say they died of pneumonia. Yet if they call it a COVID death, they get over five times as much money.
Well, there's a U.S. senator, I believe from Minnesota, who was a medical doctor who came out with this report about 2 weeks ago and said that if they classify a death as a COVID-19, they get $13,000. If they're able to put that person on a ventilator before they die, they get $39,000. So your numbers are correct. I just read this report. I forgot the senator's name from Minnesota, but, boy, I'll tell you one thing. They sure shut him up in a hurry. But going back to these other groups, here's something to stop and think about. They have all of this information that they can work with. So the point is, if they can use a tracing program model for COVID-19, they can use the same tracing model to go after any of the groups we talked about before. They will get rid of any dissenters. And if you are an avid Second Amendment person, or you are an anti-abortion person, or you're totally against vaccines and you're vocal about it, like I will be and a lot of other people will be, suddenly, I'm going to tell you, suddenly you have come in contact with somebody with COVID-19, and they will come and pull you out of your home and take you to some place to make sure you're isolated so you won't be giving that COVID-19 to anyone else. So, again, you go back to the history of the Brown Church and how they were used. And think about the unemployment rate that we're having. We've got 30 million people who lost their jobs so far, 30-plus million, to the COVID-19 outbreak. Companies are laying off a massive amount of workers. And the economy, it was fragile before all this started. We know that. And so now we have, they're saying 18.6 of the labor force is now unemployed. Do you not think for a minute that people aren't going to respond to these government jobs for $25-$35 an hour to keep their families fed, to keep things going? You think they're not going to buy into this? And they're going to say, okay, well, I have to sell out my neighbor down the street, but man, I've got to keep my family. I've got to keep my family fed. I've got to keep a roof over their head. And man, I really hate to sell out old Bill Jones down there. I really hate to go in there and take him out of his home and put him on a train somewhere going to who knows where. But man, I've got to feed my home. You think this is not going to happen? You know, look at the facts that only make you happy. So there is going to be a huge economic decline, and here's the other thing that troubles me, Terry, and you give me your thoughts on this as well. But at some time, one of these countries that we have perpetrated a war against, or one of these countries that we keep throwing sanctions at, or something else, when this country gets weak enough, are you going to tell me that one of these countries sitting on the sidelines is not going to say, they're now using their military against their own people inside of their own country. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. They're using their own military. Would now be a good time to maybe take over this deal? Would now be a good time? And, Terry, this is fairly recent, and said the military was going to be employed in mandatory vaccinations. He made that statement. It's 27 seconds long. I'll send it to you. We're going to use the military because this is going to be a massive program with these forced vaccinations. He didn't say forced, but that he might as well have. This is what we're going to have to do. So it's going to require the military as well as these COVID-19 investigators. People, this is becoming extremely scary. And for all of the people I know who told me back when Trump made his statement about red flag laws, let's arrest these people, and then we'll have a due process second. And everybody that I know that I brought this up to said, oh, you just don't understand because Trump's playing a 4D chess here. Well, he just said he's going to use the military for forced inoculations. And we've got others saying that people who will not, and there is a governor, and I'm still researching this one, as before we went on the air, Terry, I was researching this one, where a governor has said that, okay, if you do not take the vaccination, you will be issued a vaccination paper once you've taken this forced vaccination. And then after you have that, you'll be able to leave your home. You'll be able to conduct business. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to the drugstore to get your prescriptions. You can do all of this. But if you do not take this inoculation, you will not be allowed to do these things. You'll be forced to stay at home because you might infect somebody. If you don't wake up to this one, if you don't see what's coming right here, and I'll be honest with you, I still do not believe that enough Americans will wake up in time to do anything. The only thing I can think of and to stop and think that really, really troubles me. It's when I look at the young people, I look at my grandkids, other people's grandkids, look at their children, and you go, man, this is on us. What they're going to have to struggle through, what they're going to have to live through is on us, because we only chose to look at the facts that we believe. All right, Terry, jump on it.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the statistics for pneumonia deaths and pulmonary deaths and upper respiratory deaths and basically all sorts of different kinds of deaths in general are way down. Like deaths by pneumonia are down like 1,500 per week below the average for the last 3 years. There was a 30-year-old guy that died in a car crash a couple of days ago, and he was classified as a COVID death. The statistics we're hearing and the numbers we're hearing are all just baloney. You can't believe anything that you're hearing. I guess the social distancing has helped people not die of pneumonia.
Okay, well, we know here's two things, and I just looked at these. Trump names two new heads of Operation Warp Speed to develop a coronavirus vaccine, and then in the same thing from CBS News, Trump says he will mobilize the military to distribute coronavirus vaccine when it is ready to go. So here's
pretty disappointing, I'll tell you that.
Here's the man on the white horse that's getting ready to charge in and drain the swamp, and here's what he says, and I quote, "We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized. So at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly." Trump said the mobilization process for distributing the virus vaccine is starting now to get a head start once the vaccine is finished. He said we will have a tremendous force because assuming we get it, then you have to distribute it. And I guarantee you that Fauci and Gates and Bloomberg are going to have this vaccine ready to go in a short period of time. And the military is going to be used in this country in forced vaccinations. And then there are going to be people who will say, oh, well, that will never happen here. Hang on, baby.
You still there?
I am, but I needed a drink of tea.
I think it's if what you're hearing is true, Mike, and Trump is supporting, you know, this forced vaccine, it's time to go to the Second Amendment.
Well, you know, Terry, I don't like to indicate to anyone, and that's one thing that's troubled me for years, is that people say, oh, well, we've got an amendment, which means it's something man gave you. I don't rely on anything man gave me, because man is not the source of my rights. And in this country, the one thing that really troubles me, and it troubles me greatly, is the biggest sellout in this country, in my opinion, and I sell it for what it's worth, has been the Christian right in this country, who have sold out and have made government their God instead of the Christian God. And I see it all the time. I saw it today. Every time I see it, it makes me angry. When I go by a church in the South and I see a flagpole out in front of the church with the U.S. flag on top, the Christian flag below, you have said who you're primary God is. That's a violation of the First Commandment. And people would rather obey government than obey God. We put ourselves right in the middle of this mess, and, you know, I just hate it for the kids and for the young people.
Paint a picture of what you think it's going to look like over the next 3 or 4 months, Mike.
It's going to get real ugly, buddy. I'm telling you, it's going to get real ugly. As soon as we're going to have these coronavirus, we're going to have the brown shirts, just like Nazi Germany. They're going to be going out doing the preliminary work. They're going to be getting rid of the dissidents. They're going to be pointing out the dissidents. And then we are going to have, as Trump just said today, we are going to have the military traveling throughout this country doing forced vaccinations. He just said he's mobilizing them now. And he's got an operation called Warp Speed that puts more money in Fauci's pocket, more money in Bill Gates' pocket, and more money in Bloomberg and the rest of these guys' pockets, more money in their pockets. I was talking with a guy today, and I really doubt we will actually have an election this year. I would be surprised if we have an election. I think there's going to be an event somewhere between now and November that's going to be called a constitutional crisis. We're going to have problems. The Constitution can't hire, so we're going to step outside of the Constitution. And Mr. Soros and the Koch, the one brother that's still alive, are going to come forward with a plan they started in 2011 called Constitution 2020. And as Ruth Bader Ginsburg said a couple of years ago, if I was preparing a new constitution for this country today, I would not look at the American Constitution at all. I would look towards the Constitution of South Africa. So, people, if you want to see what it's all going to look like, you can pick up Soros paid for the book and all of the incidents around it. It's called Constitution 2020. Now, remember, they started this in 2011 with their Constitution 2020 program. If you think these people don't plan ahead? So they started the program at Harvard University with members of the Koch brothers team and with members of Soros. They had the right and the left together to come out with this.
Well, Eric Holder and Soros started the push for an Article 5 con all the way back in 1963. That's 57 years ago.
Well, the one thing that we know about these people, Terry, is they are extremely patient, very patient. They have put these things together. The things I mentioned from the beginning, we keep throwing things out there. We see how many lies that the American public will swallow. And they will swallow whatever it takes to remain comfortable. The problem is their comfort's about to end very dramatically, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it.
Well, I'm glad you alluded to the spiritual battle, because there's no question that's exactly what's going on. These people that are behind all of this are known to pray to Lucifer. And frankly, some of them actually believe that they can defeat the second coming. They actually believe that. It's my understanding that some of the aerosol spraying that's gone on in our ionosphere was to set up the means that they believe would be a way to resist the second coming. They want to reclaim his creation. They want to control it. They want to. They don't care about human life. And the promises that have been made by the devil to these people, I can't even imagine why anybody would buy into it.
Well, Terry, you and I have talked about this before, and I know this is tough for people. I know, because I know how tough it was for me when I had to swallow this hunk of truth. But stop and think about something. The people who planned this, the Gates, the Bloombergs, you know, the Faucis, Soros and these other people, they can't accomplish anything without willing enforcers. Do you think Hitler brought the hell on Europe that he did by himself? He had willing enforcers. We had a trial at Nuremberg where we brought out his enforcers, the leaders of his enforcers. And what was their plea? Oh, I was just following orders. You can't do anything to me. I was just following orders. A couple of days later, we hanged him. And that's what I hear out of Americans today. That's what I hear out of people in uniform with badges. Well, I'm going to follow orders. I'm going to follow the order that I'm given because my boss wouldn't give me an unconstitutional order. Well, how the hell would you know if you don't know what the Constitution says? You take an oath, a solemn oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. You wouldn't know the Constitution if you found it floating in your Wheaties. And I have no sympathy for those people because those are going to be the oppressors. These people who are going to be paid $25 to $35 an hour to come and pick you out and point you out for future apprehension and take you away to put you in isolation because somebody said you had COVID-19. Oh, you happen to be an anti-abortion person. Oh, you happen to be a pro-Second Amendment person. Oh, you happen to be a Constitutional Bill of Rights guy. Oh, okay. Terry, I remember when a lieutenant with the Colorado State Police back in 2012, 8 years ago, said that some of the most dangerous people in America were the people who were anti-abortion, pro-constitution, and pro-gun. And he was teaching a class for other cops. If people don't enforce tyrannical laws, there's no danger from a tyrannical law. Because I tell you what, let Bill Gates and Fauci and some of those other, Bloomberg and Soros, let them get off their butts and come enforce those laws on me. They know they keep passing these bad laws, they keep passing this tyranny because they know that they have willing enforcers. The socialists call them willing dupes and useful idiots. And if you're going to enforce tyranny on your brother, on your fellow man in this country, that's what you are, either a willing dupe or a useful idiot. Oh, you might be both. Jerry, why I'm still calm.
Mike, we're down to about 25 minutes worth of actual time to do any kind of presentation. Do you want to try to launch into that, or do you want to stay on this topic?
Let's stay on this, Terry. That's too important. You know, our history is important, but our history is important for the fact is, like George Santayana said, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat its mistakes. And that's why I brought up Nazi Germany, because we're headed right back down the same road. And for those of you who don't want to believe that again, fine, go ahead, stick to your, as I said in a mime today on Facebook, stick your head in the sand, it still won't save your ass.
I'm sorry. I find that humorous, but it's the truth. You know, the best humor has got a lot of truth in it. And I think our Father in Heaven still has a sense of humor, but he's got to be losing it about right now on these people. Because this is a battle against him. He knows it. This is a battle against.
Terry.
They're trying to reclaim his creation.
Tell you what, to me, I don't see how anybody can say that God didn't have a sense of humor when he said to Gideon, who was hiding, "Oh, hail, O mighty man of valor." Yeah, there's a sense of humor there.
I listened to a county commission and health department combined teletown hall that they didn't send out emails on it. They sent it out as a text message, and one of my cohorts here in Douglas County let me know about it. Because I didn't even get the text. So I called in and I listened a while. It was pretty pathetic, to be honest with you. And we supposedly have three conservative county commissioners. But what they're saying is basically appeasing the leftist questions, the Marxist questions, the assumptions. The questions all had the assumption that the information that's being provided has got any kind of truth behind it at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. Instead of being statesmen and saying to these people, I'm sorry, but you're buying into a lie, they're just sitting there talking about masks and ventilators and, you know, how they're preparing, and they want us to reopen in a safe manner. Let me tell you the safe manner to reopen. It's called you go out and you say, we're open. And you don't need anything else other than maybe some precautionary things to suggest to those who have compromised immune systems or are at high risk. And you shouldn't be able to order them unless they've got symptoms of something, and then they shouldn't be going into public situations. But that's true all the time. We don't need a health crisis or a lockdown in order for people to exercise good sense. But instead, they're violating people's rights, our unalienable rights. You know, I mentioned the Second Amendment a while ago. It conveys no right to anyone. The Bill of Rights only preserves certain rights, and they didn't even have personal protection as a part of it. Second Amendment has nothing to do with personal protection. That was considered such an inalienable and inherent right given by our Creator that it wasn't necessary to codify it even in the Bill of Rights. So I referred to that just as a simple way of saying it's time to take a stand, and if that stand has to be a physical stand to prevent our rights from being taken away from us, it's time.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, and I'll say it up front. The man down the road who would violate the rights of my neighbor or me for money is my enemy. I don't care if his family's hungry. If his family's hungry, come and I'll share what I have with you. Don't sell out your neighbors and your friends for a dollar.
This contact tracer thing is...
If some of the people who are willing to do that wake up in a hog pen some morning, not my fault.
Did you get a chance to listen to that amazing Polly video that I sent you the link on contact?
No, sir. I have not yet, but I intend to look at it. I'm trying to look at as many things as I can. But, yes, Terry, I tell you what, this is just – I go back, and I've told you this story before, I know, and I think about what my grandfather told me. He lived to be 100 years old. I remember we were riding home on his 97th birthday, and he told me, he said, well, boy, I'm not going to be here much longer. And I said, Pa, don't say that. You're in great health for a man 97 years old. Look, you get around very well. You're in decent health. I would be proud of being 97. He said, that's not what I mean, boy. He said, if you live to be anywhere near as old as I am, I wouldn't want to see what you're going to see in this country. That was 1980, Terry. He saw it back then.
40 years ago.
He saw it coming. I didn't want to believe it. I was like the guy that my friend said, I only look at the facts I believe. I was that way. I freely admit that. And that is just, that's tragic. It's tragic that we've allowed this to happen. But there, you know.
I've lost count. I've lost count of the number of people who I've found them doing things that the medical profession has prescribed for them, including chemotherapy, but I've lost count of the people who I've told what you're doing is going to kill you and it's not going to improve or extend your life. And the response I've gotten has been, well, I only do what my doctor tells me.
Yeah, that's why
I've said to a few of them, I've actually responded to a few of them, yeah, that's what I've heard from a few people who are now dead.
Well, Terry, there's so many facts out there. You know, take these statins that they give everybody for blood pressure, and the statistics actually show that people actually die faster taking statin drugs. I've seen that, you know, and I'm, of course, you know, people can use facts for almost anything. They're using facts against us, they claim, or figures against us that they claim that the COVID is this, that, or the other. But people, here's something very simple. The government is having to pay doctors to classify a death as COVID-19. Is that not all the information you need to know that you're caught in the middle of a giant hoax? To me, that's just incredible that we know that. That's a fact. It's out there. But then again, like I said, Terry, in the beginning, I look back on all of the facts that are irrefutable about 9/11, or the facts that are irrefutable about, you know, Oklahoma City bombing. These facts that are absolutely irrefutable. It just, you know, it continues.
All I needed to hear, and it all adds up. I mean, I haven't heard anything yet that gave me any reason to believe that anything they're telling us about this pandemic is legitimate. Nothing. They're pressuring the hospitals. They're pressuring doctors. And even if they weren't paying them off, just pressuring them to list these deaths as COVID is bad enough. But the fact that they're paying them big money to show. And you know, you take a case where they took a premature baby who died 22 weeks. It was born 22 weeks, but the mother was in an accident and it pushed her into childbirth, and the baby was 22 weeks premature, and it did not survive, and they listed it as a COVID death. They're listing people who die in car accidents as COVID deaths. It's beyond me that the number of people that are buying into this stuff are buying into it. Take the mask off. Refuse.
Well, Terry, that's one thing today. I walked through Walmart, did some shopping, walking through a Walmart, and I said to myself before I go in there, in anticipation of tonight's show, I'm going to see how many people inside this Walmart, not counting employees, how many of these people believe the government lies, because the people who believe the lies will have on masks, and the people who don't will be like myself, and they'll be without a mask. And so I purposely made a count. And I was in that large store for approximately 25 minutes. I saw four other people without a mask on. So that tells us what we're up against. The masses believe every damn thing they see on TV.
Well, I've done 12 estimates, construction estimates, in the last 48 hours. And only one of the people on the properties asked me to wear a mask. But I'm in more of a rural area. But so are you. So I'm a little surprised at that statistic in a Walmart. I'm seeing close to half the people not wearing masks now.
Well, this was many more. I would say in this Walmart I was in today, it was in a larger city than where I live. Of course, you know, where I live in the suburbs, and we have 232 people in the city. So, and we don't have a Walmart. So it's a pretty good distance away. The one I go to that's closest, that's in Mena, it's more like 50-50, people with masks, people without masks. But today I was in a larger city, and there was there had to be 85 to 90% of the people I saw, probably even more, but at least 90% were wearing masks. So to me, that is very, very simple, the fact that the majority of the people, and, hey, let's go back to what the CIA Director Casey said. We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is a lie. And he said that in 1981.
I guess he'd be pretty happy today.
Absolutely. One of the one of my friends just popped through with a comment and said the population of the town was 23,000. So, and another friend from California just sent me a text, and he said that when he and his wife went into a bank today, they're in California. Of course, you know, he lives in the land of fruits and nuts anyway. But the fact that when he went into the bank, that he and his wife were the only ones without a mask. Terry, the masses of the people will march in lockstep to whatever this government tells them, because the government lets them vote. That's the pacifier you get to suck on while you sell your country to hell.
I'm sorry, I was looking at a note that just got posted on Skype. People are sending me stuff left and right.
Oh, have they said anything about shooting your co-host?
No. No. They're just,
well,
most
darn.
Of the people that communicate with me that way are just in disbelief. They just cannot believe what's going on, and that it's being allowed to go on.
Well, Terry,
it's
if I
staggering.
Could. Yeah, I posted a meme today on social media. I'd like to read that for the people. It's very short. And here was the meme I published, and it contains the little thing you found humorous. Things are about to become quite dark in this country before summer is over. Liberty and freedom are gasping for breath, poisonous air of a government gone completely rogue. Sticking your head in the sand won't save your ass. And out of all the people on Facebook, 14 people liked it.
Is that on Bill of Rights, Arkansas?
No, that's just on my just standard page.
Yeah. If Patrick Henry were alive today, would he be wearing a mask, social distancing, and obeying the tyrannical commands of this government? I know not what course others may take, but as for me, I just read that.
Well, I'll tell you what, at Red Hill, where Patrick is interred, I tell you what, there's probably a good breeze up there as he's spinning in his grave.
Well, Mike, I don't know what else to tell these people about what's going on. They've got to recognize that they're being fed information that's not healthy. It's not healthy for the herd immunity. It's not healthy for kids. It's not healthy for anyone, and it's destroying our economy. I mean, you mentioned it a while ago. I mean, I'm hearing that probably small businesses and restaurants, that one out of five will never open again.
I've heard it higher than that, Jared. I've heard it higher than
that's
that.
That's the lowest,
you know,
number I've heard.
As I was walking around today in that Walmart, the thing that was really, really funny to me, I thought, as I looked at all those people, I said to myself, I said, isn't it strange how many people will commit suicide because they're afraid to die?
It's true.
And that's when you see these people, when you see these people with all these masks on and everything else, and we've seen all these reports from doctors that say that it's harmful. That, as you alluded to very poignantly in the beginning, it's not healthy for you to wear these masks. But people can hear that, but if they believe that their government is more powerful than their God, they're definitely going to believe that their government's more powerful than the doctor. Because all
I just saw on my oldest daughter's Facebook page, they just one of her friends just posted a picture of a car that ran into a pole and killed a guy that was driving. He passed out because he was wearing a mask driving.
COVID-19.
Well, there's a real COVID death for you.
That's what I was saying.
Passed out from wearing a mask and runs into a pole. That's a real COVID death.
Well, somebody will get 13,000 for writing that down. Where the money comes in, Terry, that's what troubles me. People are they're going to hire these people who don't have a job. They're going to give them $25-$35 an hour, and it's going to be money that's made out of nothing. Because William Paterson, who founded the Bank of England in 1694, which is the very same system we have today, the very same system, 300 and some years ago, they founded this, and he said at the time, "We will enjoy the profits on the interest of money that we create out of nothing." And I just saw today where the Senate or somebody else says, yes, we need the Federal Reserve more money. Which means that every dollar that we have will be worth less. Every dollar that you work for will be worth less.
According to Jim Sinclair, who is one of the brightest economic and financial minds probably on the globe, he said if we didn't have this pandemic, that the economy would have crashed much worse because there was such a demand for the additional currency that they couldn't keep up with it, and that it would have crashed bigger and worse than we're experiencing right now. And he says it still will. It's still coming. That economic crash is still coming. The only thing that's delaying it is that the demand has been reduced by the pandemic.
But, Terry, that can't be true because I saw on Facebook where all of these Trump supporters said that this is the greatest economy in years. Tell me it's not true.
Well, it's just like our freedom. It was an illusion. I've been saying for at least the last 18 months that this good economy was an illusion. And it was. It is. Still is.
Yeah, but Trump's playing 4D chess, Terry.
Well,
if he's going to do
the right thing, he's still got to get reelected.
If we listen to Q, he's about to put all these people in prison.
Yep, that's true. I mean, that's true. That's what's being suggested. And it's not just Q. I mean, there's a lot of people out there right now suggesting that that's what's coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I remember in 2016 where he said, he thought Hillary ought to be in jail. Yeah, well, right. Do people not remember when he contributed to the Clinton campaign? In today's world, Terry, a conservative is the guy or the person who embraces what the liberals embraced 5 years ago. Prime example is affordable health care. Fought harder against affordable health care than Republicans, except when it came time to fund it. And then 114 who said they were against it voted to fund it. If they had voted not to fund it, it wouldn't have been there. They can have the law all they want to. If it's not funded, it can't be funded. So then they all came home and ran on that program. Oh, we're against affordable health care. We voted to fund it, but we're against it. And then under Paul Ryan, the Republicans come up with their own universal health care plan. So my prediction is correct. 5 years after a liberal introduces something, a conservative embraces it. That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Well, Mike, we've got about 4 minutes left before we will get the closing music on us here. And we didn't open this with a prayer tonight. I really think we need to take time to say a really good prayer tonight. I think we can probably say most of what we've got left to say in that prayer. You want to open it up and I'll close it?
That will be fine, Terry. Lord, you see your people who are looking down a barrel of a massive weapon that is being used against us. And the problem is, Lord, is that we pointed this thing at ourselves. We're the ones who accepted it. We're the ones who picked it up. We have allowed this to happen. And that the government has been placed ahead of God. The government's more important. We show it on our flags at our churches, God. We say publicly who is more important in our lives. We're paying the price for that. And we understand, we should understand that. We should see that. We can't continue along these lines. We accepted 230-some years ago a polytheistic world. We accepted Article 6, Section 3 of our Constitution, which was a violation of your first commandment. And yet we still look around and we think that, hey, the answer to these problems is more of what got us here. Oh, this year, it's an election year. We can all vote. Lord, I just ask you that and I look at Hosea 4:6, where you said that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and they have rejected knowledge. I don't think anything could be more true. Terry?
Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of the only name that gives us an audience with you. Yahshua, your Son, our Savior, our King. We look to his example, Father, and he called out the lies. And we want to be available to do that, Father. We want to be able to identify those lies and call them out. Because we know that the real truth is your truth. And you presented it in your word. Just as Mike just mentioned in Hosea. Father, we know that this battle is truly a fight against you, against your Son, our King. It's an attack on truth. It's an attack on your creation. And we want to be available. We want to set the right record. And we want to have the courage to take a stand for that truth. And we trust in you, Father. We trust in your Son. We trust in you. We trust in your word. We trust in who the victor is, the final victor here. And we know that only you can sustain us. So we don't want to succumb to the lies that are around us. We ask for your wisdom and your courage and your guidance and your strength. But we also pray for your mercy. We pray that you would clean house. I've watched your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. I've watched you clean house in a church, in a congregation, in a community. And I know you can do it. Nothing's too big or too small for you. And I've learned that lesson the hard way on occasions. So I just I lift up the United States to you. I lift up our brother Mike to you. I lift up our families to you. I pray that you would watch over us and bring us through this attack. Take the devil out, Father, and come quickly, Messiah. Well, this has been a great show, Mike. I hope people take it to heart. I hope they've learned something from this, and I just pray that they'll resist and they'll take a stand.
It's our only option, my friend.
Good night, all. Good night, Mike.
Good night.
Good night.